The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua, and we're working with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
I'm, in 20 years, I'm just gonna go on a rant and rave and a video promo on probably holograms on you, Josh.
Yeah, what Joel's referring to is that yesterday Ric Flair, I guess, was cleared and open to go, and he cut a promo on like everyone that he's thankful for, and kind of said the doctors told him to slow down, and he's not going to slow down, that he's still going to drink, still live the life that he had, and yeah. And like apparently the surgery and everything cost $1 million+ to get everything done.
See, you know, more times than not, then I'd say that's an exaggeration. Based on what we understand about the U.S. healthcare system, or lack of healthcare system, I could see it being 1.8, so the Saudi money is probably going to find its way into Flair's pocket.
So this is my, that was my question for you, is why I didn't ask you this offline. At the end of it, bizarrely, he makes a remark of something that happened in Ric Flair's 30 for 30, which happened 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago.
Which, there's two comments. There's one that Jim Ross made, which is pretty much the same thing that Shawn had. But then he calls out Shawn Michaels and says Shawn has no respect for him, or more like Shawn has no right to say the things about him. It was really bizarre. And I don't know if it is a Saudi thing or if it's just whatever. Sorry, I lose my voice there. But it's just very curious. It's very curious. And like it's wrestling, so you never know. It's just really kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it definitely I did not expect. This, you watch those videos, and you're like, oh, this is happening today. I did not foresee this at all. I'm glad to see Flair can cut a promo and go, but I don't know. It's just one of those things that maybe that's something better left unsaid.
I don't know. It was so weird, like watching it, and like. He was talking about Stone Cold and stuff like that, and then he mentioned Charles Barkley. I'm like, okay, I know he's at his birthday party, and that's a friend of his. But, and then he mentioned Enzo and Cass in there as well.
Did he? I missed that part.
He's like, I want to thank Enzo and Cass for their well wishes. There's one person that didn't send me well wishes. He never said if it was Sean. I don't know if, you know, I'm sure someone like Hunter is telling him, because we know Hunter more or less is straight edge, and certain sense of Hunter doesn't drink and or do anything, and Hunter's not really a big fan of any of that. And I can't imagine Hunter would indulge him to continue to live that lifestyle.
Yeah, no. The Nature Boy should be slowing down. This is the second time he's been in the hospital. And yeah, this one, well, maybe got blown a little out of proportion, but if you're going to say that you had a $1.8 million worth of procedures done in the hospital, that's a big deal. Like, that's not no small pocket change.
He's 70 years old. It actually feels like he is older, but he's 70 years old. Like, maybe slow down. I don't know. Like, obviously Charlotte now is in the prime, so she's probably not going to have grandkids for him anytime soon. I'm sure that, you know, David, I don't know. Does David have kids of his own? Do we know?
I have no idea.
But, like, David, and I think the other one, that was just David, right? There's another one, but that wasn't in wrestling, right? Because, well, it's technically, sadly, it's only three children now because of Reed's passing.
I've got not the faintest idea, but I guess Flair is just going to keep going. It is weird that we're even talking about this. Like, this is a thing that happened. She thought, oh, Flair's, after the last health scare, I believe Flair was in a decent spot. And like, you know what? Happy with life. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to keep going. And the videos like this is just very jarring and very, you see it and you hear it and you're like, oh, this is really weird. This kind of reminds me of Flair when he went to TNA.
Yeah. You know, it's also, I was going to bring up with this because, you know, we were going to have this Flair conversation when this happened. We're going to maybe pair with the unfortunate stuff with Ashley Massaro, which, by the way, Mick Foley doing some really still really good stuff on that, I should add. But it reminds me in certain stance, too, of a smaller stance of Brian, you know, when he lost recently. But I will say this. I don't know Daniel Bryan personally, but I can tell you when Brian's in his 50s and Birdie is, you know, a teenager or whatever, and he needs to take the step back and be a dad and be responsible and everything like that, he won't be in the wrestling ring at 50 years old. I can tell you that.
You're wrong. You missed a headline this week. Brian said he wanted to wrestle into his 70s.
Okay, well, perfect time for me to be an idiot.
So, he wants Terry Funkin.
That's hilarious. I'm glad you corrected me on that.
Yeah, never say no in wrestling. It's like, oh God, I know where he's going. Please, 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 please.
Well, then yes, it reminds me a lot of Brian, who when he was on Total Divas or Bellas or whatever the one it was, literally went into a depression, not being able to do this. And some guys just can't walk away. And I guess he's one of those guys that's just never going to be able to walk away. Flair can't, like, you know, it kills Flair not to be in that ring right now still. So what's the other thing that he can do? He can still style and profile and party and everything like that. And the problem is, and look, I think he should be able to enjoy his life, but to a circumstance, you're 70 years old. You had one major health scare in 2017. You had a major surgery now here in 2019. You've had these major health scares. We don't want to add you to this long list of wrestlers that have passed away. No one's saying don't have fun, you know, have a beer with Stone Cold or whatever, but you know, slow down. And he's acting like, I'm not slowing down. And people telling me to slow down are idiots. It's like, no, because we care about you. But now that he does stuff with Migos and everything, it sends a new lease on his life, right? For him.
Yeah, he's forever young. He is absolutely forever young.
And it'll be something that we talk about when the unfortunate event happens.
Yeah. He's certainly living his life to the fullest.
I mean, he's making sure that he lives every inch of 70 years old. So I just thought the video, well, I saw some people in the video like, this is the most badass thing I've ever seen. I'm like, this is one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, not the best look for someone that you'd think would be like, okay, you know, I'm in a good spot in my life now. Let's enjoy it. It's not going to end great.
Unfortunately not. So it's going to be news. I don't know if this is, what do you think with this Sean thing? Do you think it's like how he actually feels that he got out of there and you kind of, you know, you have a close life experience and you are thankful for the people that, you know, were there, respectful for you, and then, you know, maybe that's something from that 30 for 30 thing with Sean that bugged him and that it's coming up to all reason now.
It could be. I don't think that there's anything planned down the pipeline. Saudi may want to see Flair in Saudi Arabia. I could absolutely see them wanting to see Flair. But same token, I don't know. I think this is probably a mix of both. This is probably work a shoot into an angle, or it could just be how he feels and he's finally just letting loose and telling Michaels how he feels. But I think the timing's a little off. And like I said, this feels like heading into TNA Flair, which was not a great Flair to see.
No, wasn't there? There was an incident in London with a bus, I believe, or something, and he was like incoherent at the time, and Dixie just kind of got sick of him and his attitude and just kind of making sure, taking care of him and then just being drunk and all the time and everything. I believe that was something, right? I mean, yeah. You know it gets bad when Dixie, who was like the ultimate like fangirl of any XWE talent, and you know, that includes especially someone like Ric Flair, she finally just threw her hands up and had enough.
Yeah, I mean, they took Kurt when he should, like, the whole reason WWE let him go because they thought he was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want him to die under their roof, and he refused to get help. So that was the biggest thing with they let him come to TNA and let him do his thing there, and he hit rock bottom, and then he eventually cleaned himself up. But it's, yeah, when you get to that point where you're like, I can't handle this anymore, that's not good, especially from a company like TNA back in the day.
Like, look, I want Flair to live the life that he wants to have and have a good time and everything like that. I'm not saying that. Like, it's unfortunate he couldn't go to StarCast. I mean, the sit down with him and Ricky Steamboat, I'm sure, would have been really, really good. And he was supposed to present the title, apparently.
Yep. Brett was second choice.
So, I mean, I think the Brett one pissed off Vince probably a lot more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the Flair one, I think, would have pissed off Hunter. And, you know, I think it would have pissed off Vince as well. So, either way, you're going to piss somebody off with what was going to happen there. But, no, at the very end, the silver lining is I'm glad that he's healthy. I'm glad that he's around. I'm glad that he can cut promos and whatever and living his best life. I would just like him to just, you know, maybe be a little smart. You know, you don't have to be styling and profiling all the time. Yeah, go sign autographs and shoot commercials, but, you know, don't go to the bar and all of a sudden be crazy and all that kind of stuff like you were talking about, because you still are 70 years old, and you can say you're forever young, but your body is only going to agree with you for so long, no matter how much money you pump into it.
Yeah, and we've already seen that his body's not happy.
No. So it's at one point, unfortunately, the body's just not going to kick out.
Yeah.
And yeah. I dread that day, but you know, he's had two false finishes now, and I hope there's many more to come. But when I saw that, you know, I was hoping that it would be a guy that would, you know, I guess he just has a persona. And I guess the notion that Flair has is, I want people to remember me for this rather than some whittled old man that had to sit back and be like, be a different way. So, you know, it is what it is. And I as long as he's happy, I guess that's all that matters. But the one thing out of all this, and we've gone far too long on this, is the Sean thing was just really bizarre.
Yeah, very bizarre.
Just really out of left field. So I don't know if it's just weird, because if you had those feelings, why didn't you say that when the 30 for 30 happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure that if we could do some research or whatever, they've done at least a table for three or a panel or something in that 2 years since the 30 for 30.
Oh, yeah, they definitely cross paths.
I guarantee you. So that's weird.
Wasn't Sean there for his birthday when Batista attacked him?
Yeah, I believe he was.
Could have said it then, behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, well, let's move on. And it's been a lot of stuff with the audio entertainment this week, as Jon Moxley jumped onto the Jericho podcast, and this is going to be kind of the overwhelming part of this podcast to many degrees with what AEW has been able to do this week. I will say, just before we get to this, is I've been wrong about a lot of this AEW stuff. I did not think it was going to grow and be in the mainstream as much as it has, and really it has this week in many ways, just having casual friends of mine hit me up about certain things. It's been kind of a shock to me how fast it has made an impact.
My only fear with this is the story of Icarus getting too close to the sun. But they've already got the road to Fyter Fest going, so that's already gearing up right now. They've already transitioned from Road to Double or Nothing to the Road to Fyter Fest, so we're going to get built for that. Sounds like we're going to be getting the current rumor, according to Dave Meltzer, is that it'll be on Wednesdays on TNT. And once TNT's locked on a date, apparently they've done a lot of research on what's the best day for this, and when they really want to have their wrestling show on. So that tells me they're taking this seriously. This isn't just something that they're going to throw on and hope for the best. They're taking this seriously, and just the amount of support TNT is having for this, which we saw during Double or Nothing and we're continuing to see, means that they're behind this product, which is a good sign. And once they have that locked down, that sounds like the Canadian TV deal and the UK TV deal will all fall into place once they
have a UK TV deal. I had not heard about that.
No, not at all.
I could be mistaken, but I don't know if they iterated that on the pre-show enough.
No. But, you know, for our UK listeners, thank you for staying up and listening to this show. And make sure you stay tuned for the main show.
You know, it's a little late for you guys. Thanks, Malrez. Yeah. But no, for Canada, you were saying TSN is the rumor?
Yeah, TSN's the current rumor. They apparently had approached TSN about a deal, and TSN, this was worded poorly, but had apparently said that their answer was not a no. So it means they were open to hearing about it. And I mean, being up here in Canada, you look at TSN and what they really have to offer. I don't think it's going to hurt to have wrestling on Wednesdays on TSN.
No, if for those who don't know, TSN turned down the WWE. I think it was 2002. They let the product go to what was then The Score and is now Sportsnet. Yeah. But that's when I think they had more hockey coming their way, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. There's a lot more hockey on TSN back in that time. And now with there's really only two sports channels up here in Canada. It's Sportsnet or TSN. Mm-hmm. One is owned by Rogers and one is owned by Bell Media.
And one has a lot more content owned. One has the Blue Jays, one has the NHL, and then one goes back and forth with them for the Raptors and the NBA.
Yeah. And so that, I think this would be a good little thing for TSN to add, and it would be a smart move. They could end up in a few other spots for all we know, but I certainly hope they end up in TSN because I think that would be a good spot. And then Wednesday nights, you can watch AEW and then you can watch NXT.
It's the first battle, the Wednesday Night Wars.
Yeah. And, you know, the nice thing is I don't know if that's necessarily a war because I don't think there's any war on NXT. I don't think that there's any.
Well, there is a rumor that NXT still, and David Shoemaker was saying this in the Bill Simmons pod. I'll get to some of the other stuff in that in a bit, as well as talking about this Moxie one, but Fox does want NXT to have a live slot.
Really?
Yeah.
So live on Wednesdays.
Could be. Could very well. And Shoemaker was even saying, like, this is probably going to be the first step, and Simmons agreed with him too. It's like, it's AEW versus NXT first before the big NXT. I think, you know, the way AEW's going, maybe they can take on the big WWE, but I think the NXT crowd is such a similar crowd that they have right now. And it'll be so interesting to see what happens at NXT 25 this week and how they respond with their show. But I think that's where we're going to go first is NXT versus AEW.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how much of that is going to be an actual war.
I think it will be.
Because I think, like you said, and you said it best, that a lot of the fan bases both kind of float between both.
Yeah.
Both like NXT and AEW. They're similar wrestling styles in many ways. NXT is still very much that WWE product. But I can foresee both people being a good night for wrestling fans. That would be the night that most wrestling fans tune in. I think Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown are both becoming afterthoughts more and more as time progresses. One of that we'll get into the Moxley podcast shortly. But I just think that two to 3 hours of television that you could potentially have with NXT and 2 hour AEW, if it's 2 hours, we're still waiting on confirmation on that. You suddenly have a nice little slot where you can get all your wrestling in, and then you're set after Wednesday, and then you can carry on and you can watch Japan, you can watch other promotions on your downtime. And honestly, I don't know how much I'm going to think about Monday or Friday night for wrestling.
Yeah, it's Friday night. That's a terrible night. I'm sorry. It's not a good night.
No.
But yes.
The Moxley podcast.
Yeah.
Number three on iTunes for podcasts in total. The Emancipation of John Moxley.
I didn't find it as angry as the CM Punk one in some circumstances. I know this made some comparison to the Punk one. I did find it as frustrated. It seemed like it wasn't a guy that was super, super mad at WWE, but just more frustrated with the WWE and the lack of direction of the way they're going. Yeah. And he, you know, super respectful too, like a super respectful guy. Like, there's times in that, like, I don't know if I would have walked away from some of the circumstances they gave him.
Yeah, pooping scooper.
And it's funny because you hear this so many times of guys counting down the days until they're done, right? It's like, I remember the one I really, really originally remember with this was Jeff Hardy on Twitter. I remember him, like, literally counting down days on Twitter of being like 90 days, 89 days, 88 days. And I think Punk started kind of doing the same thing on his Twitter a little bit as well. I'm just kind of having enough.
Moxley was very quiet on all of this, but it's fascinating because you get really a view into the creative and just how terrible of a process it truly is. You hear these stories and you go, that would drive any sane person crazy. The amount of process that you have to do to be a creative performer is just, there's so many bells and whistles, so many little steps that you have to take to get final approval, and you're wasting half your day just trying to get one little thing fixed, and then they suddenly throw something else at you because that's what they wanted. And I don't know. I think that's one of the things that I'm most interested in seeing how AEW handles it, because we see what micromanage to death is like, and it sucks. It really sucks the life and energy out of the product. And where AEW doesn't appear to be as micromanaged, and like, they have Tony Khan has final say, but you have a little bit more free reign with stuff.
Well, I think that helps, and I think, you know, for the performer's sake too, I think it's nice that they aren't just stuck into a round hole of just being an AEW, and maybe that'll change as the company goes to TNT. Maybe those guys can't go do local indie shows or whatever the case. But it's so funny when you hear someone like I think the most damning comment was about Ambrose, and I say he's not bad at WWE, but things come back to me is the thing he said, like, I wouldn't care if there was not another wrestling company in the world. I was gone.
Yeah. Yep. That tells
I was done.
He was like, if I had to, I'd start my own wrestling school.
Yeah.
And I'd train my own opponents, and then I'd build from there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the most damning things. The other thing is the Roman line. This line that Ambrose refused to say, fought with Vince on, and wouldn't repeat it on air because of how bad it was. And the fear of it damaging sponsorship and causing a massive storm for WWE. That's massive. That Roman is the guy that you're trying to build the company around. And I don't know. This
even seems like Roman's towing the company line to a point. And, you know, you and I have talked about, you know, that list. We're going to kind of go back and forth at this point. But there's that list that Meltzer said on the hand that he can count on all of his hands and run out of fingers or something like that, of the people that have reached out to Cody or reached out to him that he's heard that are inquiring about AEW or just leaving the company and what the indies are like now, right? And one of the guys, you know, and there's like two of them will shock you. And you and I had brought up Roman as the idea. I can't imagine Roman liked the idea of the cancer stuff going at him. And Roman had the quote about Saudi this week. And it was all well and good of him, like, well, if we don't go there, you know, we can't create change. It seemed very, this is what you're supposed to say. And it didn't really seem something that Roman believed in himself, that Joe and Awani believed.
Yeah, it's very interesting. One of the big stories that came out today was Saudi Arabia doesn't want Sami Zayn because of who Sami is.
So now they're sexist and they're racist.
Yep. But blood money, it buys you Goldberg versus The Undertaker.
Yeah, it's
It's hard. Like I follow Goldberg on Instagram, and I'm just like, two more days till I face Taker, and I'm like, if this was any other pay per view, I'd have a morbid curiosity about this match.
Yeah.
Like I would be like, you know what? I'm wondering what this is going to be like, and I'm not going to lie. At some point, I'm probably going to stumble across it, but I will not be watching this live.
No. I will not be going. I probably won't see any of this. I didn't see the last Saudi show.
And, no, well, guess what you missed? Shane McMahon being the best in the world.
Oh, don't worry. They remind you every week that Shane is the best in the world.
At least they did something with it. I'll give them that for that. It's like the one thing they've stuck with. And it's
McMahon, so you got to carry Shane. The storyline through.
But yeah, you obviously seen the joke. And I haven't heard the audio, but even just reading it and the way Roman says it, it's like, this seems like a guy that's just saying something because it's the company line to toe.
Yeah. I mean, he very well could believe it. Like, neither of us are mind readers. It's very interesting because that Moxley podcast is a must listen just to get to hear the way things are run in the company and way creative is done in WWE. And I mean, you talk about it, we're closing in, tomorrow will be a week from Double or Nothing, and Moxley's the hottest thing going in WWE right now, just wrestling in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big deal. It's, you see how different he felt from going from WWE to AEW, and he just felt like a completely different person, and he probably is a completely different person. He talked about not wanting to get up and go to bed and go to work, and just being in that state of like, I just dreading having to go in and do stuff. It's not a good thing to create in your workers. And I mean, we talk about that list, and this ties in with the Moxley story. Is that name the rumored 10 to 12 names of people that are have inquired about the indie / AEW, because AEW is not going to be able to take everyone, and that's okay. But you start to wonder where, if guys start disappearing, and WWE's done such a bad job at building stars, like who's main event caliber right now? It's Roman, it's Seth, AJ, Brock.
I won't say Kofi. Charlotte,
Becky. Yeah, Becky.
New Day as a whole.
Yeah.
Maybe Usos.
No.
Not Finn.
No.
That's it. Cena if he came back.
Yeah. I mean, you look at all the talent that the company has, and like McIntyre feels like a mid card guy. He just feels like a goon for whoever.
Corbin. I'm not saying he does or doesn't, but it's a guy they're trying to make it.
Yeah, they're trying to build. It's another example of, oh, you told me I can't do this, watch me go out and do this.
My favorite thing was just with some of the stuff. It's like, well, that's just good shit. That's just good. I mean, I like that. It's good shit.
Like, apparently that's been a line he's been saying for 20 plus years, so Vince hasn't really changed in 20 years, and the product shows.
That's just good shit. That's what I'm going to use now for Vince. We had the God Damn It Pal, which was the latest one, but now it's just like, that's just good shit.
Yeah, I can totally see Vince saying that.
Oh, this is good. Poor Hunter.
Yeah, he's got to be just pulling what little remains of his hair.
So you added a bullet to Ricochet's theme. Oh, it's just good shit. It's up. He's up. He's Ricochet's gotta have spunk to his theme song. It's like Vince with Seth Rollins' theme song, and it worked. See, some stuff Vince does work still, right? He's like, well, there's a gap, and I needed to fill it. So that's where they put the burden down. He did it like the gap in the theme. And did that end up working? Yes, that ended up working. Once in a while, a broken clock is still right.
Oh, yeah. Vince is a broken clock.
Yeah.
And the Moxley podcast absolutely proved that.
Like, really, I want to ask you really quickly. In the last 5 years, small or big decision, how many decisions has he made that have actually worked out good? So, I mentioned the Seth thing with Burn It Down. That ended up working. For a second, I thought Strowman was one of those things. when we all pushed against it. But that he destroyed that. Because he did kind of with Strowman what he did with Dean. As soon as Strowman showed any comedy, he's like, oh, shit, look at this.
Yeah.
And it was over.
Yep. Yep.
So,
prime example, Brock showed some comedic timing. Brock probably reminded Vince the comedic timing. I mean, you go back with Brock with Kurt and Eddie. He suddenly showed some comedic timing and they've killed it. And now he's cashing in on Monday. It's confirmed. There's no longer the surprise of the Money in the Bank. It's now.
It's gone within, 3 weeks? Bayley did it, and now he did it. And it's like, what happened to, you know, the Ziggler cash in or any of these cash ins? Like, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, you no longer have that surprise. Like, you could have made this work where Brock's music hits and it's the biggest deal in the world. And now it's like, yeah, he's cashing in. I don't fully believe he's cashing in on Monday. I think that's just to try to sucker people in for 3 hours.
I would agree with you. I believe they're not going against the NBA that day because NBA is on Sunday. Lucky for them. But I believe they're going against the Stanley Cup.
They're just not having any luck.
So I think that's why. Let me just double check here. Yeah, they're going to get the Stanley Cup that day.
They just. I don't know, man. I don't know. It
never changes. You know, it's always something. And like, I know, like, I'm excited for NXT and everything and what Hunter can bring and whatnot, but it's super frustrating with watching Vince and watching this company and then hearing Ambrose talk and, you know, hearing that, because I remember you and I, like, that was really a downtime for wrestling and you know, go back and listen to our year in review show, like, it is dominated by Dean Ambrose. I believe at least two of us picked Dean Ambrose. One of us picked Corbin. But we very well all could have picked Dean Ambrose as the worst wrestler of the year. And now looking at it, I feel kind of shitty about it that any of us did. Because obviously he was – now you're hearing it. It's like, well, this guy was just trying to make the best out of a shitty situation. But, I mean, I will ask you, like, do we put a little bit of a blame onto Ambrose that he just couldn't make it good? Because sometimes the best performers can turn chicken shit into chicken salad.
I think this is a thing where, and I think a lot of people have had this at different points in their lives, their working career, where you just get to a point where you are so burnt out from a job that's not rewarding anymore. It's this place where you go and die for 8 hours or however long you have to work. No one listens to you. No one gives you any feedback that you need. You feel like you're fighting upstream and the water's just above your head and you're the top of your head is bobbing above the water. And just after a certain point, you just let the water wash you away and eventually you get away from the water and you feel 10 times better. I think that more than likely was the case with Ambrose. Like this guy talking about not wanting to get out of bed and just that was a guy that was beaten down. That wasn't a guy that just one bad thing happened and he gave up. I mean, you trace it all the way back to Brock and the match with Brock at Mania, WrestleMania 32, and just everything that happened, any little gimmick or any little thing that they had happen with him. Dean was also always third fiddle. He was never the guy that they really wanted to give a whole lot to. They wanted to give it to Roman. They wanted to give it to Seth. And you saw that heading out. Like they had never really any major plans for Dean. Dean was kind of there. Him winning the title at Money in the Bank just seemed kind of like this seems to be the thing that makes sense. So we'll move forward with this. But his title reign, like his feud with AJ was good. The promos between him and Cena were good. But it's still... After that, he really faded away, and part of that, like, we talk about making your own opportunities. How can you make your own opportunities when you're micromanaged to death? and you try to, and to Dean's credit, anytime they gave him something, he tried to make it work. He tried to do something. Didn't always work. And after a certain point, like I said, you get washed away in that that massive wave, and he's washed up on AEW shores, and I think he's breathing a lot easier. Yeah, I think he even said that there was a news article where he said after the Jericho podcast, he felt a lot lighter after getting all that off his chest.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of felt like – it felt like a guy that when Punk was done with WWE, he was just like, fuck this company, I'm done. You know, like, unfortunately for Punk, he got fired on his wedding day, but I think – I don't think Punk ever planned on coming back, right?
No.
I just – even if he – like, it sucks that he got fired on his wedding day, and I think that's what hurt from, like, a possibility of maybe working together in the future, obviously. With Ambrose, it seemed like a guy that was, like, just so disappointed that a company that he worked 5 years could start doing this to him. And the creative process, as much as he tried to make it work over and over again, it just continued to break his heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And like, it sucked. Like, for him, like, there was so much convenience to be there, right? Like, two of his best, legitimate best friends were working there with Roman and with Seth, and his wife works there. There was a convenience factor for this guy to be there, and he just had enough, and he just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like the one of the lines, he's like, nothing else matters except him and his wife. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we just want to get into an RV and go driving around, and that's perfectly fine. And like he even said, they never discussed money with AEW. So this isn't a guy that cares about what he's getting for a check. He just seems a lot more happy and a lot more free. Like he's reportedly going to be, for the month of August, I believe as Tony Khan said, he's going to be shooting that movie. Mm-hmm. That friend that helped him shoot that vignette of the announcement of John Moxley's return to the independence. He's reportedly doing a feature film, and that's, to me, is important, because that shows guys that they have other options. They don't need to bump for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it was a really deep podcast, and it was really, this is kind of a tool now that Jericho has. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with Luke Harper and the Revival anytime soon. We have some Sasha stuff to talk about in a second here, but it's a kind of a weapon that WWE doesn't really have at this point. I know they might be starting their own podcast, and apparently, you know, it's so funny because one of those rumored podcast people is Renee, which is so interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that gets handled.
Will it be an AJ Lee situation, right? Like, I was telling you, like, I just knowing how petty they are with certain things, and, you know, the way that AJ was treated when she got back, right? There's constant, like, small bullying or comments by the Bellas or by Stephanie. You always hear, and I'm sure there's going to be many comments to Renee all the time. And one of the things that I always found so interesting was I was listening to the podcast. I'm like, the important thing is, as long as Renee has nothing to do with this, she's not going to catch it. She'll catch like the little things like, did you know about this? Did you know that he was saying this about Vince and everything like that? And I'm like, it should be okay. And then there's a part where Jericho was like, oh, hi, Renee. I was like, ah, shit, she was there for it. Shit.
I don't think anything's going to come her way.
I hope not, man, but this company's freaking petty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I hope you're 100% right. And you probably are right, but this company is so bloody petty.
No, oh, something down the line will happen.
So we will see what happens with everything, but it was an eye-opening podcast, and it's got to the ears of guys like Bill Simmons. Like, he's got an interest from that in the show, and that's there's been a lot this week.
No, it's a busy weekend. We're gonna end it off with I think gonna be a really good wrestling show.
Yeah, and last week, you know, just on the Bill Simmons pod, that's the kind of stuff that you and I have talked about in the past, that like, that's the stuff that catches Vince and the company's attention, right? Is mainstream guys like Bill Simmons saying stuff about AEW. That kind of stuff will bug them.
I don't know. I mean, we can go to Monday Night Raw and Sammy's saying you could ask me about AEW.
Which he faked pretending to be mad about, apparently.
Yeah.
But he told him to say the line, apparently. I think that's just Vince's way of being like, I'm not mad.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. It took them one show, one AEW, the official AEW show, to get a 5-star rating and a mention via Vince. So, it's going to be interesting to see long term how this plays out. But man, the old guy is he's still a mind that I'd like to examine and just see and shake around a couple times just to see what's going on up there.
Yeah, I think you and me both. So,
speaking of the old man, he had a meeting with Sasha Banks.
He did. And rumor is summertime. You brought up a good point to me because my point was like, well, if Sasha wants to go, then just stay at home and get paid. Which was the point that Shoemaker brought up to Simmons. And Simmons, when it's kind of reminded me of that part of BTE. And Simmons like, he's staying at home and getting paid to do nothing? Then why just not let him go? He's like, can you imagine the Warriors being like, Kevin Durant, you can't play in the finals, but stay at home and you can just get paid, but you can never play basketball again. It's really a weird concept to think about if you really think about it. But, you know, for Sasha, you brought up the point to me. It's like, come back and let your contract start getting run out.
Yeah, then you can get the hell out. You can leave the same way that Dino left.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of guys are going to take this approach. I think they learned from the mistakes of Harper and a few others that have aggressively tried to get their release. I think it
doesn't work.
No, you gotta just ride out that contract. Don't look at the contracts that they throw under your nose and just get. If you really want out of there, get out of there.
Yeah, if you want to get out, you just have to be very patient, look at the dates, and then just refuse to sign. I mean, the Revival were offered a hefty deal, right? And, I mean, as for Sasha, it's going to be just a super push, you would think, just to make her stay. And it's almost not – the one really cool thing about wrestling is when it's organic. And when it's organic, it really, really works, right?
Yeah,
that's why we wanted the Becky thing, and then they gave it to us, but it was a little too late. That's why we like the Bryan thing, came a little late. There's been times organically when we wanted Sasha to be Sasha. Now if Sasha comes back as a heel and she's kicking everyone's ass, it could be really well done, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if she doesn't sign, then it could be the same situation that they tried to do with Moxley and just try to bury him on his way out, and it backfired on WWE. But the minute they get the feeling that Sasha's not going to resign, then time to get the icy hot out.
Yeah, the thing with Sasha is she still has 2 years left in that deal, so she's not going anywhere for a while.
Yeah, it'll take a little bit before she's gone. But I mean, and they're probably going to extend her contract as well. So let's say maybe 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't put it past this company. What positive things happened in WWE?
Well, there was one positive thing. Brock brought out the beatbox and had the shirt, and it was like, this is actually something that was organic, that was kind of funny, that works because Brock does have a good sense of humor. We saw it reminded me. With Brock, with Eddie, with the Mariachi band from way back. It's like, all right, Brock is kind of a funny guy sometimes.
Him and Kurt.
Yeah, him and Kurt were great. Like the milk thing or when they almost kissed. It was it was really, really funny. And then they just ruined it.
Yeah, it seemed very weird because – so let's go off logic for a second. Let's insert logic into pro wrestling. It's a mistake, but we'll do it anyways. So – WWE is upset because they wanted Brock to cash in right away, but Brock found out that he had a year, so he's exercising his contract right to wait a year and screw with people, so that is why they're upset, and this is a travesty that was committed by Brock Lesnar. That's the story, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that that scene in Big Bang Theory where Leonard fakes getting back together with Penny, and Sheldon has to write a roommate agreement, redo it again, and he completes it, and then he talks to Leonard, and he's like, I've completed the roommate agreement, and Leonard's like, oh, we broke up, and Sheldon throws all the papers up in the air, and one of the papers lands on his face, and it's just a mess of papers, and he's upset. That's how I feel right now with this Brock thing is, oh, you had something that was kind of interesting. You know, Brock is a money bag, could be interesting. And then I just threw all the papers up in the air and was like, what are you doing? No, what? This makes no sense. There's just, you can't, you.
Nobody you was mad about, nobody was mad about it. It was a little silly with the, I have a year. It's a little bit silly, but it was fine. It had refreshened up Heyman. Brock had a little bit of comedy to it. I like the cockiness of Brock being like, you've had Money in the Bank winners, but I'm Brock Lesnar, and whoever I cash in on, I'm going to destroy when that happens. And you know he was. Like, you can imagine Seth down on the ground, kind of hazy, or Kofi, boom, F5, done. Everyone's going to boo it, but that excitement when that music hits, and that music is so defiant, and with the heat, too, that it's going to get, it's such an easy generation of heat. And then you just water it down. It's funny because you're 3 weeks away. 3 weeks ago, you have one of the ultimate baby faces and Ali go up, and Ali doesn't get it. It's like, okay, well, fine. You gave it to Brock, and everyone hates us. Try to make it worthy. You know, you've done it. Let's see if it works. And they kind of did. It's so frustrating because they walk ass backwards into something that kind of does work, and then they just shit all over it. Much like with the KO or the New Day thing, they walked into that. Nope, we're good. We're done. Like, nothing stays unless it's Baron Corbin getting pushed or Shane getting pushed. That's the only two things that stay. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
And Shane elicits AEW chants.
Yeah, of course. And boring.
Yeah. I will say positives for Raw, at least, because I saw most of Raw. Or at least a good chunk of Raw. Ricochet and Cesaro had a good match. Reminds you how good Cesaro is and how good Ricochet is. And Seth and Sami had a good match. Like, there is quality talent and there are quality people within this company that you could elevate, and you could have a 5-star Cody match. Who would imagine Mr. 3-star getting a 5-star match?
Out of having a higher rated match than Kenny Omega.
Yeah, he has surpassed the Cleaner. Cleaner is no more. Cody, you know, someone had pointed out online that Cody Rhodes kind of remind them of the character Dennis from Always Sunny. Mm. And I'm like, I could see Cody yelling that I am the golden god at some point, and just that his rage has no bound. And I was like, yeah, I can actually see that. And that's one of the nice things about Cody as a performer is he gets his character and he really drives home the sports entertainment aspect of professional wrestling. I thought that Dustin is a good in-ring talent. I think both of them worked really well together.
And is that Dustin Rhodes' first 5-star match ever?
No, he had a 5-star match in War Games in WCW. So this is his second 5-star match.
Wow, crazy.
Still not as much as Kenny, but
no, we'll get there. I don't think anyone will catch up to Kenny.
I wonder who has the most 5-stars. That'd be kind of interesting to find out.
You know what's really funny is one thing I want to just double check before we get into this. Simmons brought up a thing where there's a site you can go for win-loss records, and he was looking up Kevin Owens, and he's like, it was like just, he's like, ridiculous how bad it was.
I'm very interested to see the win-loss ratio that they go with AEW. But, I mean, you look at it. Sammy lost to Seth, and they've done 50-50 booking with Cesaro and Ricochet. Matter of fact, that's one of the few times that 50-50 booking, I think, works, because you can have both these guys trying to one-up each other. This is a time when you have Cesaro do a best-of-7 in the summer against Ricochet. And that's their storyline for the summer. You start it. And every couple weeks you have a match where if If it goes seven, because that's professional wrestling and that's the rule with wrestling, unless you have it go six, which would be kind of neat. And that really puts Ricochet over. You have him go to war and battle with Cesaro.
So as you're saying that, and it's a great idea, I'm going to give you an idea how many times Kevin Owens has won in a singles match by pinfall. Okay. Since 2017. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. That's how many times Kevin Owens, and that's actually, no, take away the Sami Zayn. So six times. I got one of them wrong because it was a DQ. Six times. Actually, that was the draw. Five times. So we're looking close. Nope. Four times.
Oh.
Four times. Yeah, four times since 2017, Kevin Owens has won a match clean pinfall.
That's not good.
I could go through a numerous amount of other talent, but it's, yeah.
Well, WWE currently has 56 wrestlers employed on their main two shows who haven't wrestled a match in 2 weeks.
Wow. That's just impressive. Because the wild card rule is bullshit. And now, like, it's the thing now, like, you know Roman's going to be on Raw. You just know he's going to be on Raw. Like, there's no wild card rule. Roman's on Raw. There's wild card rules in effect. I'm like, yeah, or Roman, you just want Roman to be on both shows. Or Kofi to be on both shows. Or Charlotte to be on both shows. Or Shane to be on both shows. Or The Drifter to be on both shows.
Here are some guys, notable names that have disappeared. Bray Wyatt has yet to appear in ring, so we'll give that. Chad Gable has had nothing to do. Buddy Murphy has had nothing to do.
Black.
Harper. Black, but he's had promos and vignettes, so he'll be popping up soon.
And he's on vacation.
Yeah. Leo Rush has gone MIA completely.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Banks, Shinsuke Nakamura,
Rusev, the Vikings, War Raiders, whatever they are.
Yep. All this big push and just nothing.
Because this wild card rule is bullshit. It's a dumb rule. It's what pushed me away.
Well, here's the thing. You're wrong, Josh, because, you know, you keep the wild card rule. You just have your shows go to 8 hours.
But that's like, you know, just watching Raw, like, or like what I've been doing now. My thing is I watch the top 10 video on YouTube to see what's going on more than likely now. And if something's really good, I'll stop and watch the actual clip. But that's what's happened now, like. I expect Roman just to be on Raw now. Yeah, like certain guys aren't going to make the full jump, but Roman's 100% on Raw now, so I just can't take him as serious anymore. What you've done is you've just taken everything out that was interesting about your program, because the one thing you did have going for it was the brand split. You and I have talked about this. They took the one show that was really interesting in SmackDown, and as bad as Raw was, at least you felt like it was a separate show from SmackDown. Now they're just together. Now there's just the same shit. Now it's – because people would always make the thing as like, it's 5 hours of program. And I'm like, no, it's 3 hours of Raw, and then it's 2 hours of SmackDown, which can be different at times. Now it's literally just the same two programs.
Yeah. Furthering your same storylines. Nothing has any – really feels anything different for either product. I mean, you look at SmackDown – and, like, we go back to it when Ambrose was the top dog and you had Cena and AJ and then AJ on top. You helped build up Bray Wyatt. I believe American Alpha was there. So you helped build up Jordan Gable.
Ziggler and Ambrose.
Ziggler and Ambrose. You took... this is where Becky stood out the most, was SmackDown. That's when she finally found her footing. Yeah, you helped build Bliss up to what she is today.
Even if it didn't finish, the Eva Marie thing was intriguing for a bit there.
Yeah, and this is where Brian, when Brian was the top dog there, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
it felt I loved when Bryan was the top dog.
Miz.
Yeah, the Usos versus the New Day. Mm-hmm. Like, SmackDown was a
quality. Even the Usos versus the Fashion Police and those vignettes.
Yeah, the Fashion Police. There was Talking Smack.
Mm-hmm.
You had quality.
I really enjoyed SmackDown. I cannot talk about how awesome SmackDown was. I really enjoyed it. And I think part of me right now as a fan is like, you took... Obviously, everyone loves NXT. It's default. But you took one of the products I really liked about this company. You took SmackDown away from me.
Yep. They absolutely did. They undid their zipper and they just pissed it all away.
It's just diluted. Like, I don't watch it anymore because it's just like a follow-up from Raw now. And that's why I wanted the brand split in the first place. It's because SmackDown, why am I watching this? There's no point. And it's back to that point again. And maybe when the Fox deal happens, maybe like, okay, no more wild card rule. We want separate shows. I doubt it. I think the wild card rule is in place to help both NBC Universal and Fox get along with each other to have separate stars. And I'd be like, well, why don't I have Ronda? Why don't I have Charlotte? Why don't I have Roman? Well, now you can.
Yep. When USA wants Brian to show up, then he can.
But I really do think, you know, we're going to have a pod, just a little tease here in the next few weeks about how you would fix WWE to start getting to a level where it can get some respect again. Part of it is going back to the brand split. Was the brand split perfect? No, because they didn't take it seriously enough.
No.
But you're starting to realize there's aspects of it that were working, and the separate rosters made people feel special. And that's the thing. Like, the first time they did the Survivor Series, the one that you and I went to in Toronto, when those guys came to SmackDown, to Raw, and that was like the first time really those guys had crossed paths, it actually kind of felt kind of special to see AJ on Raw and to see certain guys on Raw because you didn't get the chance to see it. And now nothing like that feels special anymore.
No, not at all.
I was actually going to, we're running out of time, but I was actually going to ask you trivia and be like, what brand is this guy on? To see if you can remember.
Oh, no.
And see how well you would do.
We'll save that for another show because... Yeah. I forgot Finn had the IC title, and I forgot Hawkins and Ryder had the Raw tag team titles.
Yep, they let you know every week on Instagram. They're still here. Do you know what brand the Usos are on?
They're Raw.
Yeah, okay. You wouldn't know that, because they're normally on SmackDown still. Do you know what brand Naomi's on?
SmackDown?
No, she's on Raw.
Oh, well... Good times.
Oh, here's one positive. For no reason at all, Apollo Crews was drafted to SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
And then the first match he had since the brand split was against Mojo on Raw.
Let's get to NXT.
Yes, please get to NXT, please.
A historic number 25, 5 years. It's been going 5 years. I remember the first couple of shows in Full Sail.
You've seen two of them.
Yeah, I've seen two of them, NXT Toronto and then NXT New York. I've seen two of the best matches in NXT history.
Yeah.
One of them was arguably a 5-star match, and one was a 5.5-star match, I believe. That's correct.
Yeah.
25 stars.
That may still be the match of the year. It's that, or, you know, I think most people would say it's either that or the Rhodes match.
Which is wild to think.
Yeah. What would you say top four favorite matches of all time? And then I was going to ask you a few questions here really quick. As it is NXT 25, it's going to be hard for you because, you know, you saw matches in person, but also they were really good. What overall is your favorite match in the history of NXT?
History of NXT. You know what? I'm going to go a little bit different. It'll probably change from day to day. But I still really hold that Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, you really love that match, eh? Yeah, that's a great one. Mine is still, I think, Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah.
I just remember watching that with you and, you know, thinking, like, this is going to be really good. And you and I, in the middle of it, were like, this is something.
Yeah.
This is really something going on. And Finn and KO had a ladder match after that, and it was great, but it was just like, holy shit, Sasha Bailey tore the house down. Like, holy hell, And that's really, to me, when this women's movement really started, was with that match and being like, yes, these girls are kicking ass. That really stands out to me. Obviously, getting to see the Revival versus DIY 2 out of 3 in Toronto was super cool. I also really liked Natty and Charlotte the first time. That was really good. The four-way match.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, with Kid and everything in there. That was really – a lot of early NXT stuff I really, really liked.
The feud that Finn had with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, well, I remember, you know, you brought up that Nakamura and Sammy feud. That NXT, that Mania with Finn and Joe in the blood. Yeah. And they kept on trying to wipe it off, but it kind of added to the match.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think here, what else was there? There have been so many great things, like Velveteen Dream has been a staple in NXT.
Oh, the New Orleans ladder match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny versus Ciampa, Johnny versus Almost, Johnny versus the Revival, Johnny versus Cole.
Almost is really freaking good.
Johnny versus Ricochet.
Yeah. So is Johnny? I always thought Finn was the MVP, but I think Johnny is the heart and soul of NXT now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's. Do not let him go to the main roster. Triple H, Mr. Paul Levesque, please, for all that is good and holy, do not let Johnny, Adam Cole, Velveteen, just don't let that whole roster go up to the main roster. Just distract Vince with steak wraps and Lars Sullivan like body doubles. Just no, don't mess with my NXT team. Don't let Matt Riddle up to the main roster. Don't let any of these guys up to the main roster, because they will fade away and be classified as obsolete.
The greatest women's wrestler, is it just Asuka?
Yeah, she had the longest run there, so I would go with her.
Yeah, I think that the four horsewomen class is pretty crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, we're gonna see a really good women's match, and there's a lot of good women's wrestlers in NXT that let's get to the card. I'm excited again.
Well, it's funny with that too, like with one of those women, Shayna Baszler. I know Mo and I were very like out on her at the beginning, but she's continually won me over. Her style is so unique of what she's been able to do. So let's start with that. Shayna Baszler. Actually, let's not start with that. Let's start with Matt Riddle or Roderick Strong in a singles match. Matt Riddle, by the way, that said he's going to be on Raw this week.
Oh, don't do it. It's a mistake. It's a trap. It's an absolute trap.
He said he's going to stop Brock Lesnar from cashing in.
It's a trap. Don't go near the main roster. The minute Vince sees you, you're going to know.
A lot of weed jokes. He's going to be RVD 2.0.
No. But focusing on the positive side of all of this, I think this will be a really great match. I think Roderick Strong is very much underrated in ring. And I think Matt Riddle is incredible talent. I think both these guys are going to beat the ever-loving hell out of each other. And I think the guy that's going to go on to main event NXT Toronto 2 is Matt Riddle, so he gets the win here.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be a strong, striking battle. These two are going to beat the holy hell out of each other.
There's going to be some back breakers. There's definitely going to be some back breakers.
Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Breeze. Prince Pretty is back.
Yeah, and he is permanently on NXT. And he said that this was a lateral move. This is not a step back. This is not a step forward. This is a lateral move.
Dude, you know what's funny is, because we've seen Killian Dane is reportedly going to NXT UK. I don't know if he's came on there yet. If there's talent that want to go to AEW that can't, I can see talent be like, fine, I'll go to NXT. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. I think there's some guys that have never done NXT that would probably fare a lot better down there. But this match, I think it'll be Prince Pretty. I think Tyler Breeze wins. It makes sense to put the title on him and let him carry it for a bit. But I really like Velveteen Dream. So either one of these guys can win and I'd be happy. But I think it would add a little wrinkle to put the title on Tyler Breeze, the returning veteran of NXT.
I think
he was on the first NXT takeover, correct?
Let me find out.
Because just both these guys are gonna. It's gonna be a great match. We've seen the talent that Breeze has, and we've seen the talent that Velveteen has. This will be the battle of entrances, and this will be a quality in ring competition. So.
So can you guess who Tyler Breeze faced on that pay per view?
Bo Dallas.
He faced Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn. Oh wow.
I actually thought that Sami Zayn faced Cesaro on that first one.
I did too, but maybe that was
because it was not Neville and Tyson Kidd, right? That was not the first one, right?
No, it was. It was. Yes, that is correct. It was the first one.
No, it wasn't. Not on the network.
No, that was.
When did the network debut? It was 2014, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there one with like Sami Zayn versus Cesaro, and it was Bo Dallas and Finn? It wasn't NXT TakeOver then, though, I don't think, right?
NXT TakeOver 2014? No, it was Neville and Kidd. I remember that, because that was the when Charlotte faced Natty.
I don't think that was the first one, though. Like, very first one. But no, I'm talking about the first one with the network. Because they launched with the network. You know what I'm talking about, right?
That might have been the Fatal 4-Way, but...
No,
because that was the first takeover with Neville and Kidd.
I swear there was another one with Bo Dallas and him.
No,
but I don't think it was... I think that was the first takeover. No, and I'm not debating that, but I don't think it was the very first ever, like, NXT pay-per-view.
No, that was the first NXT pay-per-view.
I swear there was one with Bo Dallas. I swear to God.
No, that was the first thing for NXT.
Weird. I swear there was another one with against Bo Dallas. And that's, like, when Neville won the title.
NXT Arrival. You are right.
Thank you. I knew it! I was like, I feel like I was taking crazy pills. So technically, that's the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. February 2017. Thank you. So his Breeze is on that one. So you obviously saw he faces Woods in a no contest. That card is not as nice, but you look where some of that talent is now. Mojo Riley versus Juice Robinson.
Well, Juice is facing Moxley in New Japan.
Yeah. He jobbed here to Mojo Riley. And the Ascension faced Too Cool. Wow, this is such a better pay-per-view than the one that we're looking at right now, eh?
Yeah.
Like, Cesaro versus Sammy, Mojo versus CJ Parker, The Ascension versus Too Cool, Paige versus Emma, Tyler Breeze versus Woods, and Neville versus Bo Dallas.
Jeez.
Yeah. So anyways, having said that, yes, Tyler Breeze was in the first one, Joel. You were correct on that. I agree. I think Breeze is going to have this. I think you're going to get a little feud here with Breezy and Velveteen. There's a lot more to eat off this apple.
Yes, absolutely.
Then it's ladder time. Oney Larkin and Danny Burch. Oney Larkin's going to kill himself. He's going to do something insane. The Street Profits, the Undisputed Era, and the Forgotten Sons.
I have a funny feeling that the Forgotten Sons... I don't like that War Raiders aren't dropping the title. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were supposed to be called up. I think that was just something thrown together at the last minute.
Yep.
And we're seeing how that worked out. Sure. I think it's the Forgotten Sons.
I do too. I wish it was the Street Profits. But I think Undisputed Era is coming up soon. Also, not yet because of what I think.
I've something to say on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll wait till the main event.
Sure. Yeah. They seem to be really pushing the Forgotten Sons as much as I like the Street Profits. And Oney Larkin is going to 205 Live in the next little bit here, it seems like. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Forgotten Sons as much as I'd like it to be the Street Profits.
The Street Profits can chase.
Yep, they can for sure. Women's title. Shayna Baszler versus Io Shirai. It's going to be a good match.
The Io Shirai will win this one. I think mm-hmm. it's finally time, and she's just going to do a moonsault, and it's going to be amazing, and you're going to be like, holy shit.
She may be, you know, she's one of the best wrestlers I see in the world right now. Male, female, it doesn't matter. She's so damn good. I'm really, what Shayna Baszler was able to do with Bianca Belair in those matches was when she really won me over with her psychology and everything like that. So I'm really interested in what she could do with Io in here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really excited for this match.
I'm assuming Shane is getting pretty close to coming up.
Yeah, I think
if
so.
If that's even a thing anymore, if up is the way that you would consider the main roster. I think that if I was looking at it, I think Tyler Breeze just got called up.
Yeah, yeah.
And Finn Balor and Kevin Owens are like, can I do that? Although Kevin Owens was teased with something.
We'll get to there. We'll get
okay. And then Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, baby, for the NXT Championship. You saw Johnny win this title. Is he retaining it?
Well, here's the little nugget that I've heard. There's a someone on Reddit that posted a couple hours before the Money in the Bank that laid out how the women's match was going to go with Lacey, with Charlotte, with Becky, and then Bayley. It laid it out perfectly, and he's laid out a few other things that have happened. And he has reported that a tentative plan, and keep this in mind that this is a tentative plan, is someone's getting booted out of Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Adam Cole. Because they believe he can stand on his own, that he doesn't need a group around him. Right. He can just do his own thing. So I don't know what this means for getting called up and what this means, and this is a tentative plan. I think that Johnny's going to retain, and then we're going to get Johnny versus Matt Riddle at in Toronto. But I could also see it going on to Cole and then Riddle being the babyface to take it off of him. But I also feel like Cole needs to win the title and have a decent run. Because this is, once you get to the main roster, you're screwed.
So Cole gets taken out and Kevin Owens takes over is the rumor?
No, there's nothing with KO.
Okay.
Any way, shape,
or form. That's what I thought you were going to bring up with that.
No, that probably won't happen. I think KO's main roster bound permanently. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be interesting to see because Undisputed Era is one of the most over factions in WWE. To split them up in that way, I don't know how that goes.
Well, we can do the dream match with the Shield.
No more dream matches with the Shield. No more. No
only
more.
Only if I get paid $50. $500. $500. Sorry.
There you go. I think Johnny retains here. I think Johnny gets a retain, but I could see Cole winning. And then Undisputed turning on him. But that turns Cole into a babyface. So I don't know, but regardless how I feel about the main roster, I trust NXT. So
yeah, I agree with you. I trust
I think it's gonna be, and you know what? This is gonna be 2.5-3 hour show and it will fly by.
Yeah, unlike other shows that are gonna come soon.
Ugh, it's gonna be. There's some times where you sludge through it and you get some gems, but I think this is one of those shows where I think you're gonna have a lot of really good matches. And we're not even getting Kushida yet.
Later on this week, we're getting something that's better than WrestleMania, Joel. Sorry that you didn't attend WrestleMania. I thought you attended WrestleMania, but guess apparently you didn't. I guess not. All right. Well, for as far as this NXT show goes. I'm really excited for this women's match. The ladder match, I don't know what to expect from this. I just think Danny Burch and Loni Arkin are going to do something, like, insane.
Oh, yeah. Street Profits will, too. Kyle O'Reilly is going to play his guitar, but probably die.
Hmm.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. But Danny Burch is a tough son of a bitch. Loni Arkin is. You know who I would have liked was Fabian Eicher and his tag team partner in this.
Yeah, they could just a bigger car crash.
Yeah, they could do them in the future.
Yeah, and like you said, no Kushida. In the crowd, do we do ACH in the crowd yet?
Yeah, that's right. There's a few guys that they did sign. So maybe, potentially.
And that guy, has the guy that's the, because I've been in and out of NXT because it's just busy, but has the guy that, that valet dude, the manager, has he been around in any promos or anything yet? I know he kind of has a guy that he's with right now.
I don't believe he's, Stockley Hathaway.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's debuted yet, but he's a major get for NXT.
Right. I agree. I've liked the minimal stuff I've seen from him. I've really, really liked.
Him and Orange Cassidy had a absolute barn burner of a match.
I watched a lot of Orange Cassidy stuff today, and the more I see, he's the best. I freaking love him. I really am interested to see how more casual fans think about Orange Cassidy, but there was something that was on the wrestling Reddit today where I think he was facing it was Kaylee Ray. And he, like, gets thrown to the ropes. He, like, has his hands in his pocket, jumps off the ropes, does a roll. Or there was one that he had, like, a hot take, and he's like,
Very, very deadly kicks and strikes.
But Sloth he did get style, man. Sloth style is dangerous.
You don't want to mess with it, because he did get that double choke slam, so.
He did. Like, don't mess with Sloth style, man. And by the way, if you want to waste some time before NXT... Johnny Gargano versus Andrea Almas has been up onto the WWE YouTube page.
You can watch a bunch of NXT, which is nice because NXT is great.
Yeah, they also have DIY versus Authors of Pain. They have Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne.
Oh, Chicago!
Match. Yeah, that was a really good match too.
And they have the 2 out of 3 falls with DIY versus the Revival.
Bobby Roode versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Really, Shinsuke Nakamura when it was like, they can't mess this up.
Just gotta lose to Jinder, that's all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. All right. Anything else that we missed out on? Or are we good?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Well, everyone, please do enjoy NXT 25. It's, it's obviously a product that is continually... killing the game for everybody. And Joel, always a pleasure. Until next time, people. Cheers.
It's a paradigm shift in professional wrestling.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night.